from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. I'm Kyle Madsen. Over there is James Hamm, the James Hamm of the Kings Beat. Subscribe to the Kings Beat at thekingsbeat.com and the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcast. Sean Cunningham is on there. Another person who will not be named is on there. Brendan Nunes. We love Brendan.
Brendan Nunes.
Before we talk about the trade deadline where nothing is happening, although nothing's happening now, stuff has definitely happened though. And I want to talk about that. But before we do that, Golden Sky Country Music Festival is coming. It's October 18th through the 20th. It's a weekend long thing. You pull up Keith Urban, Thomas Rhett, Luke Bryan, the Turnpike Troubadours, obviously, Riley Green, Bailey Zimmerman, Ashley McBride. I could go on and on. It is a glut, an embarrassment of riches of country music superstardom, and ESPN 1320 wants to send you. Go to ESPN1320.com. You can enter to win 2 general admission passes, and those are weekend passes. You pull up, you get all 3 days. That is, like I said, Keith Urban is one day. Thomas Rhett another day. Luke Bryan the third day.
Wow. It's
going to be an awesome, awesome show at Golden Sky Country Music Festival, October 18th through the 20th. Enter to win a couple of general admission passes at ESPN1320.com right now. Hell yeah.
Fired up. Yeah.
Can't wait. Anyways.
That's like 9 months from now.
Eight.
Okay.
8.5. Speaking of that, trade deadline, 25 hours-ish.
We got right an exact there. Time? 25 hours, 24 hours and 56 minutes when you said that.
Yeah,
now it's right. 55 minutes and 50 seconds.
Just doing a countdown. Here's our show. It's a countdown to the trade deadline.
That's right.
59,
58.
So there's been a lot of talk, and I saw some of this in the chatty house during the break at youtube.com/ESPN1320, also twitch.tv/ESPN1320. But I saw a lot of this in the chatty house during the break, and I've seen just kind of this analysis in general that it's been a really slow trade deadline. And I think the reason for that is partly because there's probably a myriad reasons, but it's partly because the two big names at this trade deadline were the two Toronto Raptors. It was OG Anunoby and it was Pascal Siakam. They were traded in the middle of last month.
Yeah.
Which takes a lot of stuff off the table in terms of major moves and championship, potentially championship altering moves or playoff altering moves. And now we're down to the Dorian Finney-Smiths and the Royce O'Neals and the Bruce Browns.
Yeah.
That's what's on the table now. I don't think it's a slow trade deadline. I think the trade deadline just happened prematurely. Because let's go to the world where OG and Pascal Siakam are still on the table. We're talking rumors. We've got the Kings involved. We've got the Warriors involved. We got Every team is basically, the Pacers are going to be there. The Knicks are going to be in the mix. You got Miami. You got all these teams, and you're going to have rumors flying, and there's all these three-way deals, and there would be something to talk about every single day about new rumors of this offer and that offer, and this team is now in the mix. That would be all over the place, and it would be like, wow, what an exciting trade deadline. But the two big moves already happened.
No, I totally agree. Even throwing Terry Rozier in there.
Another good one.
It already happened. Like, all of these deals. And that is kind of the way the trade deadline goes. I think, you know, there's always this way that you remember things.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you typically remember a trade deadline is, oh, it all happened on the last day or the last 2 days. It was wild. But a lot of times, this is actually how it happens. There is a trade. And don't forget, like, we talked about this when the Pascal Siakam trade went down. The Kings were looking to make a deal then. Mm-hmm. They wanted to build this thing up so they had it ready to roll for the last half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen. They didn't get the Pascal Siakam deal done.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's because they didn't want to spend the money or Siakam wasn't convinced that he wanted to stay in Sacramento, like, there are all these mechanisms in place in that trade. There's rumors that the Raptors switched a deal up at the last second. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It didn't happen. And that's kind of the window the Kings were looking at. I'm not saying that they're not going to make a deal between now and tomorrow at noon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still have a whopping 24 hours, 52 minutes and 45 seconds to go. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they have to make a move. And
yeah.
If I'm the Kings at this point, I look at it a couple of ways. Like, if you can really improve your team right now, then maybe you do something. If you can improve your team by using second round picks and maybe Davion Mitchell or Chris Duarte, then you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine if you want to make some moves on the margins right now, but you get so much more power back in your, like, your war chest,
mm-hmm.
on July 1st,
right.
Where you give up your 2024 pick for the Kevin Huerter deal, which is not a valuable pick at all. But if you give that pick up, that means you made the playoffs. We get to July 1st, and all of a sudden you have all of your first round picks moving forward. You've got four first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of the pick swaps in between. You got a 25, a 26, 27, all the way to 2031.
Mm-hmm.
You've got picks, and those are valuable picks. And you have one real rotational player in Malik Monk that isn't under contract. And what that means is now a guy like Davion Mitchell, who will make like $6 million and $6 million for Chris Duarte next year, those are now expiring contracts, and they're worth a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you start throwing these packages together, they look a lot different July 1st. And I didn't think I would, if I were going to, maneuver this team, I would have tried to be aggressive and make the move I needed to make to go get the Kyle Kuzmas or the, you know, Jeremy Grant of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very possible that those two teams just don't want to play ball, or they're just asking astronomical amounts. And you're like, look, I'm not going to tie everything up. And if I'm the Kings right now, I'm not going to give up a first round pick, a future first round pick for mm-hmm. Dorian Finney-Smith or for Royce O'Neal. I'm not doing it. That's not worth it.
No.
And the Kings at this point, they can't guarantee that those aren't going to be good picks. They're still on the bubble. They're still in the bubble of being a long-term playoff team.
Yeah.
And you don't just, it's not like you're the Denver Nuggets where you can give up your picks and say, hey, look, it might be the 30th pick in the draft. Who cares?
Right.
So that's where I'm at. If they can't make a big move right now, or if they can't make a super peripheral move with players who are basically fringe rotational players, mm-hmm. where you're giving up some second round pick stuff,
mm-hmm.
then I'm taking a step back.
I am too. And it's partly because I've been pretty on the side of make a move. You have to get better.
Yes.
But that was before, oh, look, Harrison Barnes is showing some life. Oh, Kevin Huerter found his shot again. Oh, Keegan Murray is not being as assertive as you would like him to be, but has these stretches of being more assertive offensively. And it just changes the dynamic of this team where, for all the things you just laid out with that July 1st, where now all of a sudden you have access to all your picks in the future, it is so much more valuable to me if you're Monty McNair in the Kings front office to play this season out because you've had so many peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
That I would like to see what does this team look like in a playoff stretch where they are battling for, right now, frankly, they're battling for a playoff spot. They are a half game out of the number 7 seed.
Yeah.
So how do they respond to battling for a playoff spot? Can Harrison Barnes continue playing like this? Can Kevin Huerter continue playing like this? Okay, great. You make the playoffs. What does Kevin Huerter look like in the postseason? What do Harrison Barnes and De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray, what do they all look like in the postseason? Because then you can reset this summer and go, okay, let's look at the next 3 years. That is so much more valuable to me, seeing what you actually have with this roster, because frankly, right now, we don't know. Is Harrison Barnes just showing some signs of life for a couple of weeks and then he's going to go dormant again? Is Kevin Huerter knocking down shots here for a couple of weeks and then he's going to go shoot 28% through March? Those are huge questions that we can't answer without the benefit of time and games played. So I would rather, if I'm Sacramento, play it out, see what I'm really working with going into this summer, instead of saying, hey, maybe Kevin Huerter is just an essential piece of this offense, and you're finding that out now, but he's the only movable piece you have. So, okay, move him now to essentially move laterally. That just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I still am in the camp. You don't make a move just to make a move. You make a move because it makes you better. And if you have to take a step back to move forward, that's okay. Because I don't think that you're a team that secured yourself as a playoff team for the next 8 years still. Mm-hmm. You're close. You're really close. You're
very close.
Just saying, hey, we're a long-term playoff team. But you're not guaranteed. There's other teams that are coming for you. We've seen OKC like develop and jump past you. Mm-hmm. We've seen the Timberwolves jump past you. You got to figure out how to get back into the game, how to get back into that top tier. And you know, you're not that far away. You're 4 or 5 games away from it, but you're not there. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. The goal is to find out how to go from where you are today to what the ultimate goal is, and that's what you have to do.
And when you look, you just talked about Oklahoma City. That's a very young team.
Yep.
Minnesota, very young team. You have New Orleans, that is largely still a young team, an up-and-coming team. Denver, I think, is just going to be around. I think they have a really good foundation,
yeah,
and they're going to be around for several years. Dallas, as long as Luka Doncic is there, they are one big move away from really being a tough competitive team. Utah, if you told me in 5 years that Utah is in the playoffs every year, wouldn't shock me at all. Not with this roster right now, but they are, again, it like Dallas, maybe a couple moves away from getting there. So yeah, if you're the Kings, it's not guaranteed like, oh yeah, they're just one of two teams on this ascension in the West and they're just going to dominate the conference. I totally agree with you, man. When you project this team out over the next couple of years, there's too many question marks to just go start making moves right now for the benefit of this year.
Yeah. You don't make a move to just make a move.
Nope. All right. Let's dive into Kings Pistons. They play tonight at Golden 1 Center. How do the Kings get a victory? How do the Kings avoid the dreaded first game back home after a long road trip blues? Did I say that right? I think I said that right. How do they do that? We'll give you 3 keys to a Kings victory next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
The Kings welcome the Detroit Pistons to Golden 1 Center tonight, 7 o'clock tip. We're talking Kings Pistons and that dreaded, dreaded first home game after a long road trip. Ugh.
It's always tough, Kyle. You can already hear it.
I'm glad I'll be at the game tonight.
Yes.
That's all.
I agree.
I'm just happy I'm there. I'm happy I'll be hanging out with you. I'll be hanging out with my podcast co-host, Voldemort, who shall not be named at least for the next few days.
Yeah.
Oh. Spoiler.
Oh.
TBD. All right. So the Kings got smoked in the first quarter by the Pistons in Detroit last time they played this team. I think they tied the third quarter, I think 30-30, and then the Kings ran them out of their building in the second and the fourth. So let's get to Kings do a key, key I do that every time. Kings to a Keys victory. Keys to a Kings victory. First injury report. What do we got?
Injury report. Right now, the injury report could be brought to you by insert name here.
Oh, your business.
That's right. Your business. You could sponsor the Sacramento Kings injury report here on ESPN 1320. Sasha Vezenkov is questionable. He's missed 7 straight games with a right ankle injury. He has been a game time decision in almost every single one of these games, so it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen. But he just hasn't been able to suit up. For the Pistons, Bojan Bogdanovic is struggling with a calf injury, and Cade Cunningham has left knee management. Both of them are questionable for this evening. Isaiah Stewart is out. He's been out for a while with an ankle injury.
I love the phrasing left knee management. Like, he's got spreadsheets to run. He's got tasks to dole out.
Like, the knee has all that stuff to do. Like, Cade Cunningham
managing
doesn't.
The hell out of that knee.
But his knee has all those things to manage.
His knee is really taking on the managerial responsibilities well. You love to see somebody with tasks thrust upon them, and then they take it and run with it. Nobody does it better than Cade Cunningham's left knee.
That's right.
He's manager material moving on up in the company.
Middle, is he middle management, Kyle? I'm just saying. Middle of the leg? I'm just saying.
Yeah. See, I was thinking he's maybe lower management right now. Middle management is like the hips. Upper management, that's the shoulders.
All right. Amazing.
Let's get to keys. I need to make an intro for keys to the game, but what, James, is your first key to a Kings victory tonight at Golden 1 Center?
Kyle, this is a must win.
What?
It's a must win. I don't care. You have got to beat a 6-win Pistons team. You've got to get back on the winning path. You look at the schedule ahead. You've got Denver 3 times in the next, like, 2 weeks. You have got to win this game. This is a bad team.
Wow.
Go. You're hosting them. I'm sure we're going to see 800 shots of Baby Rain sitting courtside.
Again?
He's ready for the game. He's 1 year old. Did you hear, Kyle? I want to see you go out there and absolutely punk a team that is not playing well and has not been good the entire season.
Yeah.
Must win, Kyle.
You know what? One of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody calls, because I don't fully agree with you that this is a must win, because if they lose this game and then go beat Denver and Phoenix and OKC, nobody's going to be going, yeah, but they lost to the Pistons. So I wouldn't call it that. But to your point, they've smoked so many games this year that they should have won. And if you're going to climb outside of this second tier in the West that we talked about earlier, if you're going to climb out of that second tier in the West, where you're not a top 4 team right now, you're battling with Phoenix and the Pelicans for the number 6 seed, or the to stay out of for the 5 and 6 seed to stay out of the play-in.
Yep,
you're battling with those two teams to get up with the OKCs and Minnesotas and Denvers and Clippers of the world. You have to win this game.
Yes.
So I agree with you there, but if they lose, I'm not going to say the season's over. I hate when someone calls someone a must win like you just did. And I get what you mean, but somebody goes, well, it's not a must, because the season's not, it's not like, it's not game 7. Like, thank you.
Yeah, no, I do. There was a time.
It's a theoretical must win. I know exactly what you're saying.
Luke Walton was asked in game 1 if this was a must win. I'm just saying it's happened.
All right.
Let's move on.
My first key to a Kings victory. Hey, maybe stop giving up wide open threes.
Maybe.
I don't know. Team shooting. We talked about this a couple of days ago. Teams are now shooting 42.6% from 3 against the Kings since the calendar turned to 2024. 42.6% in 18 games. That is abominable. And that's just a defensive problem. That is a matter of strategy at this point, where too many teams are getting wide open threes. I don't care if they score inside a little bit. Run them off the line. You cannot let a team get into a rhythm from 3, especially a team that is way worse than you, because that's how they stick around in a game.
Kyle, on the season, they're allowing their opponents to shoot 39.5% from 3. 39.5. That's you're nuts. 29th in the NBA.
It's nuts.
That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. All right. What is your second key to a Kings victory?
James's second key. Get Keegan involved.
Yeah.
You know, the last time these two teams played, he scored 32. Over the last week, he's had 3 5-point games, a 33-point game, and a 10-point game. Like, figure some of this out. Feed him, feature him, get him involved again, because I get it that you want Harrison Barnes firing away. I get it that you want Kevin Huerter firing away, but you need to continue the development of Keegan Murray at this point, and especially against a young team that's not very good. Mm-hmm. Let him eat against a team like this.
A maximized version of the Kings, whether it's this year or in 5 years, is De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the trade deadline a lot on the Insiders, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, ESPN 1320. We talk about the trade deadline a lot, but nothing else really matters moving forward outside of those three players. And Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis combining for 18 shots, and Keegan Murray having so many nights where he takes 7, 8 shots. Keegan Murray having a night where he has 21 in the first half and then finishes with 33.
Yep.
I mean, he should have 21 in the first half and then gunning for 40 or 50. So I totally agree with you, man. They need number 13 to be more impactful on a more regular basis starting tonight.
Yep.
Number two for me, the impact of Golden 1 Center, man. Not that it's going to be rocking like playoff atmosphere. It's the Pistons. Everybody knows. But in that first game back from a home, from a long road trip, haven't been home in 2 weeks, let the crowd get into it. The Pistons will punt. Hit a couple of threes early. Get up 10 in the first quarter. Crowd's rocking. The Pistons are done. This isn't a team that's going to buckle down and be like, hey, let's shut these fans up. And I think that's a big way that you can avoid that lull on your first game back after a long road trip.
Yeah, I totally
get
agree.
Get the fans into it.
And I would tell fans, too, I'm just looking outside right now. Like, the fog has rolled in. Like, be safe. Get there early. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, be like, show up and be noisy, but also be safe tonight, because it's going to be, I think the weather just keeps like going crazy on us. And this could be one of those games where we get out at 10 o'clock and it's so like foggy and crazy that you can't see like 5 feet in front of you.
Yeah, definitely. And don't drink and drive. Get a ride.
Yeah.
Anyways, number three.
Don't get caught up in the trade deadline. Things are quiet as of now. Don't let the noise in. If one of your teammates gets traded and we have the hug in the middle of the game, like hug watch, that it happens. Like, understand that this is the process, and understand that you have a job to do, and the job to do tonight is to go out and beat the Detroit Pistons, and that's it.
Yep. Yep.
It's a business.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you. Number three for me, get out and run. When they made the game frenetic against the Pistons in Detroit, the Pistons started giving the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
It was driving in, whether it was Jaden Ivey or Killian Hayes or I forget they had a point guard playing who doesn't usually play because Cade Cunningham was out, and I forget his name right now. But whoever it is, driving into the paint, throwing the ball away, the Kings had a ton of steals, a ton of fast break points. Get out and run and force the Pistons to do that. They are not skilled enough to run and execute an offense on the fly.
Was it Marcus Sasser?
It was Marcus Sasser. That's exactly who it was.
Yeah, put pressure on him. This is a team that is not great and has a lot of holes.
Yep.
Go out there and you know, turn the screws.
Yep. If the Kings do all those things, they'll get a win tonight. And if they win, I'm staying the whole game. If they win, it'll be the first time I will ever be seeing A-Beam.
Oh, the beam in the fog. That should be cool.
Every time I've left early, they've won. When I've stayed the whole game, they lose. Stay in the whole game tonight. Let's reverse the trend. If I stay the whole game tonight, I'm telling you, if I stay the whole game tonight and they lose, I will never stay for a full game ever again.
Oh my gosh.
Because now it's on me.
It's science.
And I will wear it. I will wear it tomorrow on the Insiders from 10 to noon on ESPN 1320.
There it is.
All right. We got a ton of stuff coming up on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I got breaking news.
Kyle, we got a little trade.
Trade season.
Not Sacramento Kings.
Not Sacramento Kings.
The Memphis Grizzlies are trading forward center Xavier Tillman to the Boston Celtics for 2 second-round picks, sources tell ESPN. That is from Adrian Wojnarowski.
I like that for Boston.
Yeah, I wonder what that means for friend Nemias Keita. I don't know.
Yeah, Xavier Tillman, fine rotation player.
Yeah, well, back into the rotation. That's fine. I mean, you need depth for sure.
Yeah.
And Nemias Keita, if I'm not mistaken, he's on a two-way contract. So, like, you can't use him in the playoffs, and he has a clock running on him like Keon Ellis does.
So, I'm sure there's a reason that this is a bad take, but I'm going to say it anyway. I would trade for almost any NBA player for two second-round picks.
Okay.
Like if there's some player that the Kings think might make the back end of the rotation better for 2 seconds, just sure.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah, do it.
No, I'm with you. Like, I understand where you're going with that. And you know, like, for that matter, like, there are players out there that I would easily, like, what you want to do is, if you're a team like the Kings, is you want to try to cash in and at least get a veteran for what you're doing, right? Like, someone that you know who they are and what they are, and you're giving up some draft capital, but that draft capital really, for a team like the Kings, it might come in handy if you're developing talent at the G League level to fill voids, but there's also a good possibility that those players will never play for you.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, look at the second-round picks that the Kings have had. I mean, Keon Ellis wasn't even a second-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, Keon Ellis was a undrafted free agent signing. And, you know, Jalen Slauson may never play up with the main team again this season or next year.
Yeah.
You know, Colby Jones, second-round pick, he probably will develop enough that you can...
Damn right he will.
You can get some minutes out of him at some point, but... Like, second-round picks, yeah, if you got to give up a couple of second-round picks to go get yourself a legitimate NBA player, okay, I'm game.
Yeah, I would do that. Like, not necessarily Xavier Tillman in this instance, because But
he doesn't fit the need.
No, but I think if there's any kind of, like, wing-type player available that can throw a couple of second-round picks out, or a second-round pick, like, yeah, man, just go do it.
It's kind of like what we talked about last year with, it wasn't just, well, there was... Darius Bazley, but also Matisse Thybulle. Matisse Thybulle was traded for, I think, a pair of second round picks. That's a deal like I would have gone out and done. Yeah, and then they were able to lock him up. Like you can do a lot with second round picks. And the Kings have a couple of extras. They don't, I think they have an extra this year and they have an extra, I want to say like 2 years from now.
The other thing about second round picks is it's pretty rare that you fall into Isaiah Thomas, right? Where,
oh yeah,
you're not that good of a team and you just with a late second round pick find a guy who's just good and is just a contributor right away.
Yeah.
I think as the Kings get, assuming they stay on the trajectory they're on, I think if they get to that point where they're just a perennial playoff contender, now those second round picks become a little more valuable because now they're cheap. Now you have a roster where you can afford to let them develop either on your bench in a very cursory role or down in the G League or whatever it is. And now all of a sudden you get like that's what happened with Golden State and Draymond Green, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't play a lot. He sat on the bench, he developed and then got, now he was an early second round pick, but still you see that kind of path forward. Like I think Colby Jones, A, I think he can develop because he has a really good feel, but B, he's getting a year to just, yeah, he's getting some NBA experience, mm-hmm. but he's getting time in the G League as well. He's playing basketball. He's familiarized with what the Kings want to do on offense and what they want to do on defense. And now all of a sudden you could see him next year being a player that, yeah, hey, he's just in the rotation. He's just a third guard.
Yeah. Like that's what, if you're going to be a great team, and that's why, again, Monty McNair came from the Houston Rockets where they did this exact thing all the time. Right, this is kind of what the Rockets did. They would go out and chase stars, superstars, all day long. Mm-hmm. But then they also had a factory in their G League team that was creating 3-and-D pieces to go alongside these guys, or even Tariq Black and Montrezl Harrell, like these forceful, undersized centers that can go out and like wreak havoc. But you're teaching them a role and saying, hey, stay in your lane. This is who you're going to be. We need you to come in, like, just give us a bunch of pop, mm-hmm. right? Or we need you to play defense, Daniel House.
Right.
Stay on the perimeter. Keep somebody on the perimeter and shoot the three when you get an open look.
Yep.
And know your role. So I think that that's where the Kings are heading with a lot of these. I just, you know, I wish that they would have found more of the 6'7", 8'9" wing players like this. Instead of just guard play, I think that's where they have to move. They have to start creating the Kessler Edwards.
Yes.
But with those second round picks and seeing if you can develop one or two of them into something.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. That's what I'm doing all offseason. If there's no major trade that's going to shake up your roster, do whatever you can to add Kessler Edwards types.
Okay.
Maybe they work out, maybe they don't. But if Kessler Edwards consistently knocked down a three, That changes what the Kings can do in their front court.
No, I totally agree with you.
And I think it's interesting that he's starting to play more this close to the deadline.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I'm with you.
A big Kessler Edwards supporter.
Would you...
Although he runs like his shoes are a size too big.
Yes.
It's clear he's very unsure of what he's doing.
You know, there used to be a guy that was drafted in the first round, but I think he went into the early 20s. You remember Terrence Jones, Houston Rockets? But
oh, yeah, of course.
Big-time super athlete.
Louisville?
No, I want to say Kentucky. Anyway.
Oh, I'm thinking of, go ahead, sorry.
He ran like his ankles were on swivels, like his feet flopped. And it was very, very clear that he was going to have trouble like sticking around the league. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Terrence Jones is Kentucky. Who am I thinking of from Louisville?
You're thinking Terrence Williams, who also
there you go,
who also was drafted there. What if it's a minor deal, but what if the Kings and Warriors got together, and the Warriors need to save some cap space,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Kings could use a little bit of depth. Stick with me here. What if you did a Davion Mitchell, JaVale McGee for Kevon Looney and Moses Moody trade?
I think that helps the Kings significantly.
Okay.
I think Looney just does a lot of, he just does the right stuff on the court at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a little bit the Alex Len bag too. I think that Loon is probably a better defender though, just overall.
Yeah.
And then Moses Moody can play, dude.
I think so too. I would probably give up a second round pick in this deal.
I'm super down to, if you're the Kings, if you can go get Moses Moody, then yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Because that you're trading JaVale McGee for a better player in Kevon Looney.
Okay.
And inexpensive too. Kevon Looney is not making that much money.
He makes 7.5 this year and I think 7.5 next year.
Yeah, so relatively inexpensive. And then Davion gets his fresh start and you're getting a player in Moses Moody who does a lot of the same stuff, but better. He rebounds, he knocks down threes. He's not like a lockdown defender, but he hustles on that end.
Yeah, and I think like Warriors fans would be like, oh, why would the Warriors ever consider doing that? And the fact is that if you can shave $4.5 million off their salary structure,
mm-hmm.
that saves them so much money in the grand scheme of things. I mean, that probably saves them $30 million in luxury tax.
Yeah.
That much.
Yeah.
So that's why they would at least consider that. And, you know, again, Mike Brown loves Looney.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you could easily find a way for Looney to fit in. And it kind of feels like Looney, they have their Looney replacement. So
Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah, and Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Do you know who else Mike Brown loves?
Uh-oh. No.
Draymond Green.
Oh, no. Not No, so you're not taking on 75.
No, that was purely for the humor.
No, I get you. I bring up this because I'm like, hey, look, if you could help them a little bit and add solid depth, why not?
This lies the problem with Golden State and the trade market for them, is nobody knows what they want.
Yeah.
I think that they're probably a little bit delusional. And they look at what they're getting from Steph Curry right now, and they're going, the team doesn't need to be that much better.
Mm.
Like Jonathan Kuminga's improving, and Andrew Wiggins, before he got hurt, he started to look better, and Draymond Green's back in the mix, and he's calmed down, and he's quarterbacking the defense, and okay, here we go. Klay Thompson has accepted a lesser role. I don't know if you saw that video. That was tough to watch.
Yeah.
But he's being more realistic about who he is as a player. I could see the Warriors talking themselves into it. And saying, going to stand pat and ride this thing out, which, sure.
Yeah.
But if they're in the space that you're talking about, then yeah, I think absolutely. And if Monty McNair has probably already made that call and said, hey, you're not even in the play-in tournament right now.
Yeah.
You want to unload some salary? You want to take Moses Moody and Kevon Looney or whoever.
Yeah.
Off your hands.
There's a lot of ways to structure it, too. I just threw those two out because it's a way for them to save a bunch of money,
mm-hmm.
like realistically. Even if, I mean, I know you're going to like shake your head no, but if you were to swap out Colby Jones instead of JaVale McGee, it would actually save them even more money because Colby makes a lot less money.
I don't know why the Kings would trade their best player, but sure.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of teams are with the deadline right now. Is what does this team want to do? Yeah. What do they care? The other reason the Warriors could talk themselves into being delusional, I think. Remember the Brandon Pajemski stat I gave you yesterday about how he has three straight double doubles and he's the first Warrior to do that since DeMarcus Cousins in 2019.
Oh my god.
I don't think I added that piece of the nugget. It was DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins, who has been playing in Taiwan and having a great and he's played in China and Taiwan. He's had a great time.
Good, love that for him. Love that for Cousins. He was the last player to have three consecutive double doubles for the Warriors. Brandon Pajemski's done that. Pajemski also has had zero turnovers in those three games. He's the first rookie to do that since at least 1967.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
All right.
So again, there's just enough happening with him and with Kuminga. You could see Golden State getting delusional and going, yeah, that trade offer could save us $30 million, but like,
$30 million is $30 million.
We're just going to hang out where we're at and try and win a title. And we're going to hang out now with Kenny Caraway of D'Lo and Kenny. He is in the building today. Kenny, what's going on, man?
I'm good, baby. I'm good.
I'm so happy you're back. It's so good to see your face.
Oh, man. It's always good.
Everything
to see
good?
You guys' face.
Everybody good?
Everything's good. Definitely blessed. I'm glad that we changed the name for the week.
Yes.
D'Lo and Kenny, there is no KC around here whatsoever.
We've been talking a bunch of basketball today, and we'll get to that here in a second. I want to get your thoughts on this thing that James just proposed. But, dude, I was listening to some Super Bowl content on the way in today. Yeah. I'm so fired up for Sunday.
I'm turned all the way up.
I'm so excited.
I'm turned all the way up, man. And, you know, it's just, you know, I'm listening to things. I'm hearing things. I hear the disrespect. I hear the dismissal of the San Francisco 49ers. Like, they aren't who they've been all year long. I see it. I'm ready for Sunday. That's all I'm saying. I see it. I hear it. I'm ready for Sunday. You heard me?
Me too, man.
This is really crazy that we have the NBA trade deadline mixed in the buildup to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
It's wild because you can't look away from the trade deadline.
No, not at all.
But we also haven't even really mentioned the Niners the entire day. It's totally bizarre.
Yeah.
We only have 2 hours to work with. That's a little bit of it.
And I'll tell you like this. I think the Super Bowl is going to be more eventful than the trade deadline.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't think there's enough sellers for something significant to happen.
So
you'll see stuff like you saw today, like Xavier Tillman and all this other stuff. Yeah, you might see those. But I don't think you're seeing the Kuzmas. I don't think you're seeing anybody else, the Rosens, obviously LaVine now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're not seeing those. There's too many buyers, not enough sellers.
I would agree with you. Something James just proposed that our guy Drew Down, who I haven't seen in the chat, but now that we're talking Warriors, he's back in and he says that your idea is laughable. I don't think it is. So you and Kenny, here's what James just brought up. Kings call the Warriors and send JaVale McGee and Davion Mitchell to Golden State for Moses Moody and Kevon Looney.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings would also send like a second round pick in there. And Drew Down brings this up because from the Warriors standpoint, from just a pure basketball standpoint, that's a big no. Flat out. That is a no. That makes the Warriors ostensibly worse. But on the other hand, James, would you say it saves Golden State like $30 million?
Oh, at least. Yeah, it would save them like $4.4 million in salary, which in luxury tax would be more. Because we did $6 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
$6 million equated to $44 million when you factor in the salary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be $32, $33 million for $4.4.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of money in salary cap.
And that's the impetus behind it.
Yeah.
This is not a basketball-related move. This is not the Warriors going, hey, we're going to make a push by trading Moses Moody and doing this. Like, Moody's having a hard time getting into their rotation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if you're the Kings and you go, like, but this is where, Kenny, you just brought up too many buyers, not enough sellers. I don't know if Golden State views themselves as a seller.
No.
Even with the financial stuff that James just laid out.
The only thing they're selling is CP3. Everything else, they feel like they're a buyer. They feel like a move away. And Drew Down thinks, you know, it's laughable from a Warriors standpoint. And like you mentioned, I agree. Basketball-wise, it is a little ridiculous. But do you want to spend an extra $200? I don't know. I'm just throwing out a number. But do you want to spend an extra $200 million for a team that's not a championship team?
It's
not a playoff team. But I'm even saying, even if they make a move, because I think they'll at least get into the postseason, right? Like, even if they're an 8th seed or 7th seed, like, this isn't a championship team. Barring something miraculous happening in the offseason, which would probably add to your payroll, they're not a championship team next year. Like, the championship window's over for this group.
Yeah.
So you're asking Joe Lacob, just for, you know, feels, and just because Moses Moody and Kuminga could get you to the second round to shell out another $250 million a year. Like, that's asking a lot. I know he's a billionaire or whatever the case may be, but it's easy for us to say. You just basically give an extra $250 for feels, for all the feels of people like Drew Down and Warriors fans so they can see a second round team. Maybe he does that, but...
And that's where I don't know how, because I tend to agree. I just don't know where they land on next year, because they're looking at Brandon Pajemski, who's been awesome as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You see Jonathan Kuminga developing right now. Like, as it's happening, he is figuring out a way to impact winning and be on the court. You got Steph Curry still capable of going for 60, most 50-point games after turning 30 ever in the history of the NBA.
Mm.
So I could see themselves looking at that. And then Trace Jackson Davis hasn't even played a ton yet. You add in Moses Moody, and all of a sudden they go, oh, hey, this second timeline thing. Now it's back. Now you make a couple of minor off-season deals, and all of a sudden going into next year, you have something that looks more like a contender. That's where I think the hang-up might be, where they're not just like, yeah, hey, we'll unload the salary, sure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the problem that they have is that they're entering their second time frame, whatever. Like Kuminga, yeah, timeline, and like Kuminga and Moody, their extensions are due this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you going to keep them or not? Are you just going to have them play out as fourth season? Like Kuminga, sure, you're going to have to pay. That's the problem. Like, but you have to pay.
Here's the other thing with this deadline, Kenny, and why it sounds like it's going to be pretty quiet. If you're Golden State, is it more valuable to try and do something with Kuminga this offseason with Moody this offseason?
Yeah.
Instead of just unloading salary now?
I would think so. James, you might know a little better, but I think so, because you got more time. You got all these teams have a better understanding of who they truly are. You know, I'm just throwing out like a Orlando or something. Orlando may, you know, trying to hold on to something because they're like, no, I like what we got here. We could really make a push. After they're eliminated in the first round, and be like, nah, you know, we need to be a little more realistic. Let's give up this Wendell Carter that we were trying to hold on to in February. Let's give him up now for a piece like Moody. I'm thinking people might be thinking more clearly in the summer.
I think so too.
No, I mean, I think it's possible, but at the same time, they have a $186 million luxury tax bill. And if you can shave 30, 35 million off that, like, that's reasonable basketball. That's a reasonable decision to save the money. And again, like, Lacob's going to be between luxury tax and salary. He's going to pay $400 million this year for a team that currently sits at the 11th spot.
Yeah.
They might make the play-in. They might be able to survive the play-in and become the 8th seed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot of mites.
No doubt.
And at a certain point, again, you have a GM who, this is his first run with this team. He might be looking and saying, like, I don't have the attachment to these players that somebody else has in the past.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I don't disagree. I just don't know what their mindset is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're living in that space of, yeah, this team's just not it.
Yeah.
Like this. Or if they're living in the space of, we still have Steph Curry, so let's keep throwing money at it.
Yeah.
And then you ask yourself what the Warriors like. Like some people, I know they didn't make the All-Star team, but some people don't look at the Kings as true contenders, and they've got two guys that are All-Star caliber players. Warriors, like Jonathan Kuminga, All-Star player?
No.
Moses Moody, an All-Star player? Like, we talking about
Kuminga might All-Star. Be, dude.
Kuminga might be, but Kuminga would have. Is there a world? I guess there is a world. Is he beating out Kawhi and Paul George again next year, and Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Ant-Man?
Next like, year, probably not.
He's really good. He's got a lot of talent, but we talking about All-Star.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I don't think you can get Kuminga from them. I'm not saying Kuminga. I'm talking about Moody, who they don't hardly use at all.
Yeah, I'm just saying though, their outlook on whether we're a championship team or not.
Jonathan Kuminga, the last 10 games. 25-7-2 on 61-54-80 splits.
He's been hooping.
He's been balling.
He's been
hooping. Damn.
But also remember, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr talked about it last night. He's a five now. He's not a four.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Trace Jackson Davis is a five. He's not a four.
Mm-hmm. And not playing that much.
Yeah, and there might not be a way to play both of those guys, and it might be time to bail on something like that. Just saying.
No, I don't disagree with the premise at all. My question with it is like I said, where Golden State stands. Mm-hmm. All right, NBA trade deadline is tomorrow at noon. Right now, today at 11:56, we got D'Lo and Kenny coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Boop!
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.